Welcome to the Totally Ice Hockey Show, everyone, and it's an episode full of quarterfinal previews, starting with Switzerland and Germany, Russia versus Canada, USA versus Slovakia, and Finland versus the Czech Republic. I'm Caroline Schved, and I have my co-host and hockey extraordinaire, Lucas Aykroyd, with me. Lucas, how are you?
I am feeling well. Can't wait to get going with these quarterfinals.
Are you ready for my question of the episode?
Sure.
Okay.
Throw it at me.
When we get down to the quarterfinals, of course, everybody's wondering what's going to happen. And then afterwards, especially for the losing teams, as we all know, you're also left with those questions, what if this and what if that? Athletes, they try and stay in the moment, but as an international hockey historian, do you like to play the what if game?
Oh, all day long. Man, a couple of my favorites relate to the eight-game 1972 Summit Series between Canada and the Soviet Union. Now we know Paul Henderson scores the winning goal in Moscow in each of the last three games to give Canada the victory.
Henderson made a wild stab, Wharton fell. Here's another shot, right by the door! Henderson going down, got to the defense, goes right on, going, score! Henderson, right through the score for Canada!
But then you wonder, what if he didn't? How would that have changed the whole perception of global hockey superiority? And maybe how much more would the Soviet puck possession style have influenced North American hockey back in the 70s and 80s especially?
Was there anybody else who could have played in that series who could have changed the outcome?
Are you kidding me? Let's see. For Canada, Gordie Howe and Bobby Hull, they weren't allowed to play because NHL owners didn't like the fact they jumped to the rival World Hockey Association. And then Bobby Orr, he was out with a knee injury. But the Russians too, you know, they had their own infighting and they left the great Anatoly Fyrsov off their roster. This guy had led the 68 Olympics with 12 goals. And they didn't have Anatoly Tarasov, the father of Soviet hockey, behind the bench. All of these guys could have potentially been game changers.
All right, Lucas, so I'm going to ask you to lay some classic Olympic what-ifs on me.
Well, the obvious one is, what if the U.S. doesn't upset the Soviets in the 1980 Miracle on Ice? Or let's say they lose to the Finns in the game that actually gave America gold, because there was no gold medal in those days, like a gold medal game. We might not have Austin Matthews and Patrick Kane today, let alone 25 US NHL franchises. I mean, so many things came out of that one big success. Not to mention the Disney movie with Kurt Russell. But, you know, also a little closer today, I've always wondered about the 2010 Olympic gold medal game in my native Vancouver. Just before Sidney Crosby's famous overtime winner, Scott Niedermayer handed away the puck to the U.S.'s Joe Pavelski, who almost surprised Roberto Luongo with a high shot. Think about it. What if Pavelski scores? U.S. wins in overtime. What kind of a shot in the arm is that for American hockey? How does it change the careers and the perceptions of all these aforementioned players? Never mind the city of Vancouver and the Canucks Stanley Cup aspirations. You know, so many ramifications. I could go on forever.
Let's go further down the rabbit hole and give me a what if that stands out to you from the IIHF World Championships.
Well, the Finns. They're a force to be reckoned with at every tournament now, but they've never won gold at the Worlds till 95, when they, of course, beat Sweden 4-1 in the final on Ville Peltonen's hat trick.
Ville Peltonen, Saku on takana. Saku, ja siinä on paikka! Ja sieltä se tulee! Ville Peltonen, 3-0!
You know, till then, the Finns had a well-documented history of messing things up against the Swedes. And if they hadn't won that gold medal in Stockholm, would we necessarily have Mikko Rantanen, Sebastian Aho, and Miro Heiskanen today? Would Jere Lehtinen, who was of course a teammate of Peltonen's in 95, would he be looking for back-to-back golds in Riga as the Finnish GM? I don't think so. I mean, the Finns punch above their weight consistently now, and so much of it goes back to that inspiration from 95.
Ah! Awesome stuff, Lucas. Thanks so much for going down that rabbit hole for us. But it's time for us to start talking about our four 2021 quarterfinal matchups. Are you ready to start previewing?
Bring it on.
All right, let's kick things off with the late quarterfinals, including arguably the marquee matchup between Russia versus Canada.
It's easy to romanticize yet another showdown between the two classic hockey superpowers, but let's get real here. The Russians haven't won this tournament since 2014, and Canada hasn't won since 2016. So two significant gold medal droughts. Somebody's drought is going to continue. And who's it going to be? Well, on paper, Coach Valeri Bragin's ROC team clearly has the edge. First place in Group A, outscoring opponents 28-10. Just one real stumble with the 3-1 loss to Slovakia. And as we talked about before the tournament, they've got this uncharacteristically deep defense, headlined by Nikita Nesterov, Nikita Zadorov, and now, new addition, Dmitry Orlov from Washington. And they've turbocharged their offense by bringing in Vladimir Tarasenko. This guy is trying really to have some fun for the first time since winning the cup with St. Louis in 2019. He's had his ups and downs. But in Riga, they're not talking about Tarasenko's $7.5 million cap hit or whether the former 40-goal man should be exposed to the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft. It's more like, can this guy ride the momentum from his nifty shootout winner on Sweden into another winning performance in the quarterfinals? In a lot of ways, things are looking fairly rosy for Russia.
So are you saying there's no hope for Canada, or is there a chance?
Oh, far from it. There's definitely hope. You know, Caroline, after three straight losses to open the tournament, a new record in futility for Canada, Coach Gerard Gallant's got 10 out of a possible 12 points in its last four group games, and they squeaked in. All three members of the top line, Connor Brown, Adam Henrique, and Andrew Mangiapane, are contending for the tournament scoring title, and Maxime Contois also finding his game with goals in two consecutive games. It's also nice to see the confidence of Owen Power, the likely number one pick in the next draft, just coming along on a pairing with assistant captain Troy Stetcher. Look, Caroline, the question marks are, will Canada get the goaltending they need? Will they avoid the unforced errors Russia loves to exploit? Russians always looking for that stretch pass. You look at Canada's PK, they're ranked third overall, and the Russians are clicking at a reasonable, if not amazing, 25% with the man advantage, but you don't want to play with fire. Canada's effort will be there, and the Russians have flopped before with better teams. Still, Canada goes in as the underdog.
Awesome stuff. Okay, quarterfinal number two preview. Do the reigning champs start to feel the pressure of defending their title in the quarterfinals against the Czech Republic?
Oh, this is going to be a good one. You know, the Finns are the only team not to lose a game in regulation here, but
wow.
The Czech Republic, they come up with five consecutive wins. You know Coach Jukka Jalonen and his boys are not going to make it fun for their opponents. Right now, the defending champs, they're the best team in international hockey when it comes to just sticking to the game plan ruthlessly. And that means setting up a minefield in the neutral zone and then being quick on the counterattack. On special teams, the weird stat for me here is that the Finns are 3-for-10 on the power play. Good conversion rate, not that many opportunities. But they've also allowed 3 goals. On 10 disadvantages. So it's like a mirror image. Meanwhile, of course, the Czech PK took a beating in their second game with 4 power play goals against in that 5-2 loss to Switzerland. But their PK has been fine ever since. And they got 6 power play goals.
So if you're Coach Philip Payson, how do you knock off the champs?
Well, you got to get the jump on them early, like what they did against the Slovaks. This time, you want Dominik Kubalík, Jakub Vrána, Filip Hronek on the board early, all your big weapons. You don't want to have to play catch-up against the Finns going down 2 or 3 nothing, right? That's not going to be pretty. Especially since the Finnish goaltending has been far better than the Czechs. This is not, unfortunately, the heyday of Dominik Hašek or Roman Čechmanek. Unless Anton Lundell or Arttu Ruotsalainen stops scoring, you'd have to say advantage Finland here. But you know what, Caroline? It could come down to pre-game dressing room music, too. Like, no, listen to me here. for me, the best Finnish goal song at Worlds was 8 or 9 years ago. The Teräs Betoni heavy metal classic, Taivas Lyötulta. Oh, I got a sore neck from headbanging here. Caroline, doesn't that make you want to go out and win a quarterfinal?
That or go straight into a mosh pit, either or.
I'm just happy I'm a positive influence on you.
All right, two quarterfinal previews down and two more to go, but let's take a brief pause to catch up with another one of our excellent IIHF.com writers. Andrew Podneeks takes us behind the scenes to life at a tournament and an unexpected encounter with a sporting legend.
As we know, the World Championship is a marathon, especially for the IHF writers, because we have to cover 16 teams and 64 games in 17 days. So there isn't a lot of downtime. But when there is, I try to find a local tennis club where I can rent a ball machine for an hour. Well, in 2013, I was on the Stockholm side of the draw. I managed to find a club near the arena. So one morning when I had a couple of hours, I went there to check it out. The guy at the desk was great and said, no problem, I'd be able to get a court. So I booked a time for a few days later and was getting ready to leave when he nodded over my shoulder and said, you see who's playing there? I turned around and saw Borg. Now you have to understand that I revered Borg when I was a kid. He was a great player, but he was also a sportsman and so graceful on the court. He was poetry in motion, like Roger is today. I asked the guy if I could get a picture with him, which is something I would never ordinarily do, but this is Borg. He said he'd arrange something for when I came back to play. So a few days later, I got to the club really early to make sure I wouldn't miss him, and sure enough, Borg came in. We were introduced, and then we walked to the courts together. I told him I was in town for the World Championship, and he talked about how much he loved hockey. He said it was his favorite sport, and he'd be going to some of the games. But I also knew he was a really good player before he started focusing on tennis. Anyway, we got down to the courts, and the club pro took a couple of photos of me with Borg, and I went off and hit some balls for an hour. And to me, what was special about that meeting is that it didn't happen at some event where Borg was required to be there. This was me meeting him in his everyday life, just two guys playing a little tennis at the local club. And so, of course, the next time the World Championship is in Stockholm, you know where I'm going to be one morning, me and Bjorn.
Lucas, have you ever bumped into a celebrity or icon at an IIHF tournament?
Oh, many times. And I mean, not just counting hockey royalty, that's, you know, all over the place. But let's see here. On the political side, it's run the gamut. I sat down with Prince Albert of Monaco in Quebec City back in 2008, and we chatted about his fondness for the Philadelphia Flyers since his mother, Grace Kelly, was from Philly. Then, well, at the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City, Rudy Giuliani randomly walked past me in the lineup for the men's room. We did not exchange greetings, but he was there. Let's see. Music-wise, I've hung out with heavy metal legends like Mark Storace, the lead singer of Crocus in Switzerland in 2009. Hammerfall, the members of that Swedish heavy metal band in Gothenburg back in 2002. You just never know who you're going to see at the World Championships.
Well, with all this Britney Spears singing you've been doing on the Totally Ice Hockey show, I feel like you're manifesting her and you're going to run into her next.
I just can't wait till Las Vegas hosts the world. I mean, it's going to be next level.
Okay, let's get straight into our next preview, and it's all about Switzerland versus Germany.
Trivia question for you, Caroline. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Who is the current head coach of Team Germany?
That would be Mr. Tony Soderholm.
Oh, very good. Correct. But I'm starting to wonder if his real name is Torts Soderholm. Because he's got this German team blocking shots in a way that would make John Tortorella very happy.
There's only one John Tortorella, Lucas. There's only one John Tortorella.
Yeah. There is a slight difference in demeanor. you know, Tony Soderholm gives a good post-game press conference, don't get me wrong, but different flavor. But What I'm saying is there's a relentless commitment to team defense for Germany, and it's going to make the German chances, or break them, when it comes to defeating Switzerland on Thursday. Only three teams, Caroline, have allowed fewer goals than Germany. Russia, the US, and Finland. Pretty good company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody got a little bit maybe overexcited about Germany's offensive potential when they opened with that 9-4 romp over Switzerland. But then fast forward to the end of the group stage and, you know, they squeeze out a 2-1 win over Latvia to make the quarterfinals. Status of their leading scorer, Marcel Nobels, is still up in the air after he hurt his arm in that game. And German sports director Christian Kunas said Wednesday, Nobels is doing well in treatment, but we're not going to know if he's good to go till game day. And of course, we're still waiting for new arrival Dominic Cahoon to really break out. Lucas Reichel, Matthias Plak, they've cooled off a bit since the start. So if Germany wins this quarterfinal, probably 1-0 or 2-1 is the score we're looking at.
Okay, but Lucas, Switzerland has scored at least 5 goals in 4 of its wins. So are you saying that if the Swiss win, it's going to be a blowout?
Hey, don't be putting words in my mouth there. You know, funny thing is, despite the fact that Switzerland is the tournament's second highest scoring team with 27 goals, this game is still just more likely to be played on terms that suit Germany. This rivalry is always tightness personified. So even though 5 Swiss skaters have 6 or more points, including, of course, leading scorer Gregory Hoffman and New Jersey Devils captain Nico Ischier, I don't foresee a whole lot of stats padding going on for the Swiss, you know? Germany, for them, they've got to just wear Switzerland down physically and also stay out of the box if they want to pull off what I'd call a mini upset here.
But nice.
It could go either way. So mini.
Nice. Time's flying here on the Totally Ice Hockey Show because we're on to our last quarterfinal matchup, and it's between the Americans, big powerhouses right now, and the Slovaks.
How many times have we talked about our tournament of upsets? Well, I'm going to put a twist on that. I'm going to call this the quarterfinal of upstarts. Why? Well, look, Slovakia is playing a quarterfinal for the first time since 2013. Huge news. And in a perfect world, this could be the bridge to their first gold medal since their lone championship way back in 2002 in Gothenburg. The U.S. makes the quarterfinals pretty regularly, but they haven't won a world championship tournament since 1933. Oof. That's hard to fathom. That's a long time. I mean, it's even more extreme than an NHL team not winning the Stanley Cup. Let's say the Canucks haven't won the league, you know, since entering the league in 1970. You thought I was going to take that somewhere else, didn't you, Caroline?
Salt on the wound, Lucas. It's too soon.
No. I said Canucks. I'm classy. I'm very classy. Anyway, the U.S. has really exceeded all expectations after mixed pre-tournament reviews for their roster. You remember how Kirill Kaprizov scored the Olympic gold medal winner in overtime in 2018? Well, his main competition for this year's Calder Trophy, Jason Robertson of the Dallas Stars, might be able to pull off something similar in Riga if they can get through this quarterfinal. You see that bang-on chemistry with Connor Garland and Trevor Moore, top line combining for 21 points to date. But better still, this team is defensively responsible under coach Jack Capuano. They've got the top PK with just 1 goal allowed on 20 disadvantages. And you can certainly argue that goalies Cal Peterson and Jake Ottinger form the tournament's best duo. And if you like men named Kevin, and really who doesn't, Kevin LeBanc of the Sharks heated up 2 goals against Italy. And maybe even more importantly, Kevin Rooney of the Rangers going 65.4% on the draw, second overall in the tournament on faceoffs. This right here, this is American exceptionalism.
Lucas, you still want people from Slovakia to listen to the Totally Ice Hockey Show, right? Maybe we need to balance things out a little bit.
Okay, yeah, no, definitely. Fairness is the key here. And, you know, Slovakia, they looked like giant killers in their 3-1 upset of Russia. And beating the U.S., it's not mission impossible, right? I mean, they've got Peter Solaric tied for the tournament scoring lead with 10 points. They can put the puck in the net. And coach Craig Ramsey is excited about the team's youth movement. Even after losing 7-3 to the Czechs, Ramsey singled out 17-year-old defenseman Simon Nemec for praise. Take a listen.
I thought Nemitz was the best player on the ice for us. He tried to make a difference in the game in almost every shift. And a lot of times with the young kids, that can be a problem. They're trying to do too much. But he really played a strong game. He played a smart game.
At the end of the day here, it's mainly about cutting down on mistakes. Neutral zone turnovers, giveaways in your own end, those will kill Slovakia. These guys have allowed 9 power play goals. So stay out of the sin bin. That's key for the Slovaks. You know, these guys have got a chance to pull off an upset. So go out there, focus, have fun, and make your country proud. They did a great job hosting in 2019. Wouldn't it be something if they could come back this year and move on to the semifinals?
Lucas Aykroyd, ladies and gentlemen, our hockey historian, our hockey encyclopedia, just giving us the most in-depth quarterfinal preview for the IIHF World Championship. Thanks, Lucas, for all of that. That was great, except I missed you singing on this episode, so that means that you must be preparing your voice for tomorrow's episode, right?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, once in a while, you got to contract this stuff out to Finnish heavy metal bands, right? And big props to Taras Betoni.
Awesome stuff. That's it for us guys on the Totally Ice Hockey Show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We will.
There it is.
Rock you.
Better late than never. Perfect.